can I just take a direct quote from the governor of our state, Governor Ned Lamont, saying the cost of health care is too high and we need action on a federal level to bring these costs down nationwide. I couldn't agree with you more, Governor. I really couldn't. Listen, being married to and growing up in a household where my father built an entire empire in Fairfield, Connecticut, with his health insurance brokerage. And, you know, his company does fine helping people all throughout Connecticut and beyond to get health insurance coverage. Let me tell you, in all the years I have seen an open enrollment period, this one in 2025 was the worst. And we're still kind of in it. Because they didn't continue the subsidies under Obamacare. Then it's a disaster in Washington, D.C. I think that's the best way I can put it. But what frustrates me probably most of all is that we actually could make things a little more affordable or at least give people more options here in Connecticut. But we just choose not to do that, regardless of what's going on in Washington, D.C. Year after year, there have actually been efforts in Hartford to pass association health plans. And what's interesting is both sides of the aisle, including nonprofits and the private sector, all support this. So why haven't we passed it yet? Joining us to talk more about this is State Senator Tony Huang, who also is the ranking senator on the insurance committee. And welcome back, Senator Huang. I would imagine this is going to come up in the short session starting in February. But why is it year after year you guys have put this forward and nothing happens, essentially?
Well, good morning, Melissa. And it's not just this year. We proposed this for the last 3 to 4 years in a truly bipartisan basis. Democrats and Republicans in the Insurance and Real Estate Committee, ranking members like myself and the chairs have all been an advocate of association health plans. These plans will allow small businesses and nonprofit employees who are not covered by their employers in self-insured plans to pool their resources and minimize the risk to find coverage as a group, because many of them fall under small businesses under 50 and individual plans. And it is the perfect storm of unaffordability when we have seen the annual increases for individual and fully insured small business plans rising by almost double digits every single year. Mm-hmm. And then with the federal government decision, which I did not agree with, to cut back on subsidies as part of the Affordable Care Plan, it really is a perfect storm in which healthcare, which has been unaffordable, is now just multiple times unaffordable, and it is the people. People are now having to make decisions between putting food on their tables, paying their rent, versus getting health insurance, and it shouldn't be that way, and we have a solution. Association health plans allow affinity groups like the Rotary, as well as Chambers of Commerce's. It's been supported by small business owners, but also CBIA, the main business advocate, as well as our nonprofits. And again, Democrats and Republicans have pushed the bill to be considered, but unfortunately it never got across the finish line. And the simple way I would say this is it's pure politics, because we were combating with the idea of the Democratic majority in looking at partnership plans, which is the single state payer program, which has existed in parallel with our current fully insured marketplace that employs that insures our schools, Board of Educations, and various other entities within state employment. That we're looking to expand that from the Democratic leadership. And for me, what do you do for those small businesses and individuals? Why not look at all the options to give people a choice and give relief and buy health insurance on an affordable basis?
So agreed, Senator Huang. I guess what's confusing, though, is something you had just said a few moments ago, which is that this did pass out of committee. It has overwhelming bipartisan support. So I guess I don't understand why it hasn't been passed into law yet. Like, is it always just we've run out of time? Because if so, that's kind of like a cop-out. It just feels like it's sort of bogus.
Well, I think it's a philosophical difference between the Democratic majority legislative body versus the consensus of the bipartisan group that says this is another tool that could relieve the high and unaffordable and unsustainable cost of health insurance.
So, like, what does the majority say?
Small businesses and individuals, and they think the idea of a state-run, fully single-payer system is the best way to go. You're going to see that kind of debate being addressed fully this year, where the Democratic majority in the House and the Senate is going to look to pass through a single-payer state program at the expense of efficiency and undermine our private market insurance industry. We're not called the insurance capital of the world by mistake. We have incredible risk management experience, incredible experiences in how we manage health insurance. They're not always on everybody's Christmas list, but nevertheless, their risk management and large-scale experience allows them to manage the risk and the cost that isn't always sustainable. But when you're looking at the partnership program, you're saying that the state, as well as the taxpayers, are ultimately at risk should we run into deficiencies in cost overruns. And we have seen that year after year in the partnership program, but you never hear about it because it's being subsidized by appropriation allocations and tucked away and do not have full transparency, unlike the fully insured marketplace that goes through the insurance industry, because the partnership plan or the single payer program that's undertaken is not considered insurance and therefore not open to the scrutiny and the transparency that's needed on how well it's run.
State Senator Tony Wong is actually the ranking senator on the insurance committee here in Connecticut. And year after year, at least for the last, I don't know, Senator Wong, at least 3 years, maybe more than that, you and I have talked about the efforts to pass an association health plan, which I know about, obviously, from my family who works in health insurance and just how difficult it's gotten. I want to kind of back up so people understand as well, Senator Wong, what we've seen. I want to say in the past maybe decade or two, we've seen, for example, the market more and more carriers leaving Connecticut's market. We know hospital rates have gone up substantially. We still have the issues of prescription drugs being very expensive, because that's probably one of the biggest questions is why is insurance so expensive? It feels like here in Connecticut, obviously it's nationwide, but how we got to this point and how association plans could really be at least one of the most effective solutions to make it affordable for Connecticut families.
Absolutely. The cost of health care is astronomical in regards to the cost. And the entire ecosystem has really just kind of continued to rise in cost. And when we talk about association health plan as one of the tools to be able to allow people to pull together that otherwise would not have the affinity groups to do so and reduce their risk as well as their cost. As many of these, if you had a company that had 200,000 employees, they can diffuse that risk management and be able to negotiate at a better rate with the insurers. The association health plan will allow those individuals and small business owners to join their chambers of commerce, join their affinity groups, or to be able to pool their costs and reduce risk. But nevertheless, I think there are other critical factors that we need to look at, one of which is trying to understand why the costs continue to rise. One of the things that we did pass in a bipartisan basis in working with the governor, we were able to pass a legislation on benchmarking, which is asking all of the major providers of services, from our hospitals to physicians and medical devices and prescription drugs, to be able to give data in the cost of delivering health care called benchmarking. But unfortunately, we passed that around 4 years ago, but nevertheless, the active participation from all the shareholders has been lukewarm. The other critical cost that we need to control is...
What do you mean it's been lukewarm? Like nothing's really come of it?
Well, everybody has their perspective selective on what data they want to allow out, because there's proprietary, their own internal systems, and the Office of Healthcare Strategy has pushed really hard for our insurers. In fact, one of the bills that were proposed was for our health insurers to be able to fully transparently provide all of the costs that they cover in healthcare and the various contracts that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the bills looked at penalizing that if the health insurers did not fully comply with transparency and the benchmarking, that we would dock 2 points from their requested rate increase. They weren't happy about that. But there were some very challenging things that we try to propose. Another issue is prescription drugs.
Right.
That is a cost that is untenable. We did pass some consideration in conjunction with the federal government with some of the 10 most used drugs. But nevertheless, people need to understand, 90% of all the drug management are owned by prescription benefit managers, which are owned by insurers. This vertical integration is a real concern in my mind about cost savings and kind of streamlining costs.
They all love to just blame each other, Senator Wong. You know, you've got the hospitals and the prescription medications and the insurance carrier. They all just point fingers at each other, but they all essentially are, you know, have a role to play in why things have gotten so expensive.
Melissa, I couldn't have put it better myself.
Oh, well, thank you.
Using the blame game.
I understand
game,
health insurance way too much.
when everybody else blames someone else and the blame game goes around,
Nothing gets accomplished.
And everybody continues with the status quo. And the only loser are the consumers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to add a little punch in this, is that when you look at a single-payer system, as we've seen in the partnership plan, the reality is you don't have the ability to have service. You're going to get a phone call versus having a benefits manager to be able to sit down with you, look at your unique challenges and circumstances to help you plan accordingly. It is important not to kind of eliminate that kind of resource, particularly when the marketplace becomes so sophisticated and so challenging. You need to have somebody that does this as a profession and has a relationship and understanding your unique needs to do so. A single-payer system looks good in a hypothetical, but the reality is you're talking about people's personal health care, that when they need it the most, they want to be sure that they have it. And that can't be done by cookie-cutter system of one-size-fits-all.
Right. Well, it sounds like it's going to be another effort, again, for this legislative session to potentially look at, again, these association health plans. And, you know, hopefully we see maybe more compromise. We see something substantial pass. Because if there's anything we learned, like I said, in this last open enrollment that we're still in because things have been extended, it's that you really can't keep relying on what's going to happen in Washington, D.C. And so we'll see what happens here in Connecticut for the legislative session. And again, State Senator Tony Huang, the ranking senator on the Insurance Committee, we appreciate that you keep having these conversations here on WICC. And we'll find out what happens once the session starts in February. Thank you so much.